Okay, good morning and Gemara Chasima Tova to everybody. Today's daf is Babasa Daf Kuf Gimel. We left off on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arv's wife and children, Ali Lenishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both of them, both sponsors, very much for the sponsorship. So if you recall, yesterday we started the Perek by doing the Mishnah about a person who sells a base kor afar, and we discussed how if you have a rocky area that's more than 10 tefachim high, or you have crevices in the ground, ditches in the ground that are more than 10 tefachim deep, that doesn't get counted toward the base kor. So the first thing Gemara is going to talk about is we're going to compare that to a din in Masechet Sarachin about being makdish asada, that there are similar alachos when it comes to being poda, a field that one is makdish, and how we cheshbin in the areas that are rocky areas, 10 tefachim high, or there are crevices in the ground that are 10 tefachim deep, and we're going to see if the two areas of halacha completely conform to each other. Then the Gemara is going to explain that even though the Mishnah says that nekoyim that are pchusim me'asar tefachim, that are less than 10 tefachim, are in fact measured together with the field, there are certain cases where they're not measured with the field. If it's a large enough area that's less than 10 tefachim of rocky land, then it still would not be measured with the field, even though it's less than 10 tefachim. Then the Gemara is going to bring a number of cases where we're not sure, where even though based on the quantity, based on the amount of area that is rocky, and the area over which that rocky land is spread, it really should have been measured together with the base core and counted as part of the base core, but it's shaped in such a funny way that we're not sure. Maybe the way that it's shaped makes it so difficult to plow that land. If you just take your eyeball Amud Beis, so you see all these funny pictures, right? So that's those pictures all relate to the shape of the rocky area, which would make a field all the more challenging to plow. And that's what Gemara is going to discuss, whether that such area, even if it's very small, would count toward the base kor. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss if a person, then the Mishnah is going to discuss if a person sells a particular field, and when they come to measure the field, it's bigger or smaller than that which they had agreed upon. So when do you have to pay for that extra land? What do you pay with? Do you pay with money? Do you just give part of the field back? And when does a person just get the extra land? And we assume that was just the deal, that it wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be. And that's probably where we stop after the Mishnah today. So let's begin. So again, the Gemara explains the din that the Mishnah spoke about, that if you have crevices in the ground that are 10 tefachim deep, it does not get measured as part of the base kor. Is that because we're talking about that those crevices are full of water and therefore it's impossible to plant there? Or is it even when they're not full of water and they are ra'ui l'zriya, you're able to plant there and still maybe they don't get measured together with the base kor? So in order to discuss this, the Gemara compares this to a Mishnah in Maseches Arachin Daf Chavei, where the Mishnah talks about being poda a field from Hegdish. Over there it also talks about crevices in the ground that are a 10 tefachim deep. So the Gemara is going to say that over there, when it talks in Maseches Arachin, it's on crevices that are 10 tefachim deep that are full of water. So maybe if that Mishnah is about the crevices that are full of water, that these holes in the ground that are full of water, maybe our Mishnah also is going to be talking about where it's full of water. Now, in order to understand what that Mishnah is about, right, the first words of the Gemara are Tanan Hasam, so we're about to quote this Mishnah, we need a little bit of background in Maseches Arachin in what the context is over there. The Torah tells us, V'im misteach huzaso yakdish ish la'ashem v'ya'erkecha lefizaro zera chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. The Torah says if a person is makdish a field, gives a field to Agdish, and then he wants to be poda that field from Agdish, it depends what this field is, what type of field it is. If it's a sedeh mikna, meaning a field that the fellow who is makdish it has simply purchased it himself, so then the halacha is when he comes to be poded from Agdish, he pays whatever it's worth. Meaning if he paid $500,000 for the field, then that's what we assess that it's worth. So when you're poded from Agdish, you're poded for $500,000. $1,000. But if it's a stay achuza, meaning that this field was Yerusha, a family heirloom, this was in his family for all these years, so that's what the pasuk says, that the din is that for every chomer of land, the chomer is a base core of land, you're poda it for 50 shekel kesef. We use 50 shekel kesef. There's an assigned value in the Torah, right? That's why it comes up in Sechas Arach, and Arach is all that assigned value. There's an assigned value in the Torah of 50 shekel kesef for that size piece of land. So the Mishnah is going to talk about you're coming to be poda the field. The pasuk when it says it's 50 shekel kesef is assuming you're poda the field right at the beginning of the Yovel cycle. So you're paying 50 shekel kesef, and you're going to get the field back for the entirety of the Yovel cycle for the next 49 years. But if you are pulled to the field at some point during the oval cycle, so we adjust the price accordingly. We adjust the price of the pidyon accordingly. Meaning, if it's going to be 50 shekel kesef for 49 years, that's a sela upundion for each year. So each year that passes of the oval cycle, we deduct a sela and pundion from the price. So the Gemara Maseches Arachin says that that's all talking about when Yovel is nohig. But when Yovel is not nohig, then we're only po the fields based on their actual value. This whole halacha of 50 shekel kesef does not apply. If a person is makdish a field during the Yovel year itself, so that's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in Maseches Arachin, where Rav holds that it has kedusha and you pay the full 50, and according to Shmuel, it simply doesn't have kedusha at all. Okay, so Tanan Hasam. Here's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Arachin. Hamakdish Sadeu, a person is makdish a steyachuza b'shas Yovel during the times when Yovel was noeg, right? That because when Yovel's not noeg, then the sados again this halacha doesn't apply. You're just going to be poda lefi shavya when Yovel is not noeg. So it's during the time that Yovel is noeg. So now you want to be poda that field from hagdish. So the halacha is no sin lo. You give the Gizbar lebeis zera chomer saorim 50 shekel kesef to a field that's the size of a base core that you could that's ra'oi to plant saorim in that field. You give him 50 shekel kesef because that's the pasuk. The pasuk says you pay 50 shekel kesef for that size of land. This is in addition to the fact. The Rishonim point that this is in addition to the fact that the Bailam has to be Mosif a Chomesh on the payment. Because it says, Vim Ga'ol Yigal Sasada Makdish, also, Vyasav Chamishis Kesef, Erkecha Olav Vikam Lo. That you need to give another Chamishis on top of that, but this is the base price. The base price plus another 25%. Hayusham Nikoyim Amukim Asar Tvachim, if the field that you were Makdish had crevices that were 10 Tvachim deep in the field, Oslaim Gvachim. And this is why we're quoting this mission over here. Or there was rocky land that was 10 tefachim high above ground level. That's not viewed as part of the field to be poda based on that 50 shekel kesef for each base core. That you're just poda separately based on what it's actually worth. So einim dadanima does not mean that it does not have kedusha at all, because the Mishnah had said that if you're makdish the sada, you're makdish even the boros in the sada. So for sure the nekayim and the slayim in the field. So it does have kedusha. This the Rashbam points out. It does have kedusha, but it's not part of the measurement of the special price of being poda a base core of steyachuza. Instead, it's going to go with the basic value because it has its own separate chashivas. It's not part of the field, so we just go with the basic value. This the medrash in Toras Kohanim derives this from the pasuk v'mishnas hayovel yakdish sadehu. So minayna ta'omer hayusham nekayim amukim sheinim dadim ma tamalomer sadehu. The Rashbam quotes that because the pasuk says sadehu, so we learn from there that the Nekoyim Amukim Asar Tvachim or the Sela Gavoa Asar Tvachim does not get measured with the field. But Pachos Mikan, if they are less than 10 Tvachim deep or less than 10 Tvachim high, then Nimdad Nima. Then they get measured together with the field to be Nifta for the 50 Shekel Kesef. So then it goes with the regular assigned price that the Torah gives. So Frek the Gemara on this din that Nekoyim that are Gavoa Asar Tvachim are not are not included in the Chamishim Shekel Kesef of a base core that you're poda from Hagdish. The Gemara assumes the fact that Nekayim that are 10 Tefachim deep are not measured is coming to tell us that by every Steachuza, you can't be poda l'chatzain. So over here, you could be poda the Nekayim alone, even without being poda the rest of the field. And it's also telling us that it's only Nifta l'fi Shavyam, and not based on the cheshbon of a zeruch ha-mesorim for a chamishim shekel kesef. So the Gemara asks on this idea that you're poda them b'shavyam, va'amai, why when you're poda them alone? You're poda these lower areas, higher areas alone. Why is it that you're poda them l'fi shavyam and you're not poda them based on the assigned price in the Torah? Likdashu ba'anfei nafshayu, let them be kadosh on their own, and the din will be that you're poda them based on base course sa'orim b'chamishim shekel. Right, meaning let it follow the same dinim of pidyon. You want to tell me it's a different field? Fine, so it's a different field. So you're poda this steyachuza, right? The rocky area, the low areas are their own field. So let it have the same rules of a steyachuza. So it's not part of the other steyachuza. It's independent of, but be poda with those same rules. V'chitema, maybe you're going to say kivin delavi beiskor lo kachi, that since those areas are smaller than a beiskor, so therefore they don't have kedusha to be poda. They don't have that kind of kedusha where you're poda with chamishim shekel kesef. But v'atanya, that's not true. I mean, you don't need the area of land to actually be a base core in order to have these dinim of being poda with chamishim shekel kesef. You would just adjust the price accordingly, but it doesn't need to actually be a base core of land, because the pasuk says v'mgal yigal sada amagdish oso. So we darshan, the price of darshans sada matamalomar. Why does it have to say hasada? It could have just said v'mgal yigal ela makdish oso. We already know what we're talking about. We already said that we're talking about a field. So you could have just said, oh, so. Why does it have to say, ha, sade, lefi shenemar? Because the pasuk says that the shear of pidyon is, zera chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. So ein li ela shehikdish b'inyan hazeh. I would only know from this pasuk that if you're makdish a full base core, then we have these rules that it's chamishim shekel kesef, for a full base core. Minayin l'rabos lesach. How do I know that even if the area of field that you were makdish was only a lesach, which is a half a core, v'chatzi lesach, which is a quarter of a core, sa'ah, or tirkav, which is a half of a sa'ah, v'chatzi tirkav, which is even less than that, tamalomar, sada mikol makom. That's why the Torah says the word hasada, to tell us that this halacha applies no matter how small an area of a steyachuza you're actually makdish. So therefore, the Gemara's Shaila comes back. Why is it that when you're poda these Nekaim on their own, why are you not poda them based on Chamishim Shekel Kesef for a base core? It can't be because they're too tiny. They're so small that they don't have these rules. Because we saw in the Braisa that even very small fields have these rules of a Steachuza, of being Makdish and poda a Steachuza. So Amar Avukav Barchama, the fact that you're not poda these nekayim and these slaim for the regular price of chamishim shekel kesef per base core, hacha bin nekayim milei mayim askin. It's because we're talking about nekayim, crevices in the ground that are full of water, delav bin ezria ninhu, where it's not shayich to plant in them because they're full of water. So since the Torah says zera chomer sa'orim, we learn from there that it's got to be a barzria. And if it's not a barzria, if it's not an area that's plantable, it's not an area that one can plant anything in, well, then it doesn't have these rules of chamishim shekel kesef. And then you're only poda k'dei shavyo. So in order to make this Mishnah, Maseches Arachin, makes sense, that you're poda the nekayim, the crevices in the ground, at a different rate than you're poda the rest of the field, we have to say that the crevices in the ground in the Mishnah, Maseches Arachin, are talking about crevices that are full of water, with water. Because if they were not filled with water, you'd be able to plant in them, and if you'd be able to plant in them, then they would still follow the same rules of a base course. And then the Gemara brings a raya from the Mishnah that it's talking about nekayim melei mayim that are not royal Israel. Dekanami, it's meduyuk in the Mishnah that we're talking about nekayim that are not royal Israel. Dekatani dum yudeslaim, because the Mishnah quotes two cases, slaim and nekayim, that just like slaim are not royal Israel, so too nekayim are not royal Israel. So shema mina, it must be that if we're going to just mentioned the two examples of areas that are not part of the field, we say, oh, rocks and crevices in the ground. Well, you can't plant on a rock. So it makes sense that the nekayim that we're talking about, that the crevices in the ground, are also the types of crevices that one would not be able to plant in. So now the Gemara says, well, ihachi, if that's correct, that since they're not roi lizria, you cannot, the pidyon does not happen at the rate of chamishim shekel kesef for each base kor, afilu pachs mikanami, then even if the depth was less than 10 tfachim, we should also say that they're not measured with it, and that you should be poda, you should be poda lefi shavyam, because guess what? Even if you have an 8 tefach ditch that's full of water, you can't plant there either. So if the point is that we're talking about nekayim in the ground that you can't plant in, and that's why they're niftes kefi shavyam, and they're not niftes based on the special price that the Torah assigns, so then we should say even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it should have the same din. The Rishonim are a little bit bothered by the lashon of ihachi, because it sounds like this kasha is only a kasha once you say we're talking about nekayim melei mayim. L'chora, it's a kasha from slaim regardless, right? Meaning slaim, even the kasha is any area that's not plantable should automatically be excluded from the base court. Well, a sela, rock that's 8 tefachim high or 5 tefachim high is also not plantable. So this kasha is not dependent on saying that the nekayim are melei mayim. That only makes the kasha on the crevices in the ground. But the kasha would already exist on the rocky area above the ground anyway. So Tosos asks that kasha, and also asks that from the answer of the Gemara that mentions that slayim are shidri da'ara, it sounds like we actually were asking on slayim as well. And if we're asking on slayim as well, then the ihachi is really problematic. Meaning from the Gemara's answer, it's going to be clear that we're not only asking on the nekayim, we're asking about the slayim too. So if we're asking about the slayim too, then really the ihachi doesn't make sense. So that's a struggle that the Rishonim have. But be that as it may, the Gemara is asking that if any area that cannot be planted doesn't follow the normal rules of base core that you're poda with chamishim shekel kesef, then who cares if it's 10 tefachim? Even less than 10 tefachim, it's something that you cannot plant. So answers the Gemara, hanu negani da'ara mikru, shidri da'ara mikru, that any nekayim, any crevices in the ground that are less than 10 tefachim are considered to be little cracks of the land, but that's natural to a land. And the rocks that are less than 10 tefachim high off the ground, those are called land protrusions. That's not a separate piece of land. It's natural that a land is not going to be perfectly even and perfectly smooth. So anything less than 10 tefachim, that's just like what naturally comes as part of the land, and therefore becomes batel to the greater area of land. As opposed to, if you have something that's 10 tefachim deep, 10 tefachim high, that already has a chashivus in its own right. That's not batel to the karka, and therefore you're going to have to be poda that separately. So based on the fact that we said that we're talking about nekayim that are not roi lizria, in the case of in the Mishnah Masech, so now the Gemara says, and what about our Mishnah, where we said that if it's 10 tefachim deep, it's not nimda dima as part of the base court? Are we also talking about only when it's melei mayim? Hachamai, in our Mishnah, what's the case? Are we dafka saying that when it's not roi lizria, just like by Hegdash when it's not roi lizria, or in our case, even when it is roi lizria, but the crack in the ground, the hole in the ground, is more than 10 tefachim deep, it still doesn't get measured together with the field? So Rav Papa says, Afalpi she'ein melei mayim. You cannot equate our Mishnah to the Mishnah Masech Sarach, and the Masech Sarach, and it's only when it's melei mayim. In our Mishnah, it's even if it's not melei mayim. My time, why is it that? Why then is it not part of the shear of the base core if it's not melei mayim? After all, it's roi lizria. Meaning, if you told me you're selling me a land that's a piece of land that's a base core, and it measures the base core, and there just happen to be cracks that are very, very deep, but I could plant in those cracks. So what's the problem? Why would that not be included? Why is that not part of the land that you sold me? Says Gemara, Ein Adam Rotzah Sheitein Ma'osav B'Makom Echad V'Yero'o Lo Kishnayim U'Shloshim Mekamos. Because that's a major flaw in the field. A person doesn't want to buy one field, pay money to buy one field, and end up with natural barriers that make it, ki'ilu, it's two or three fields. because both the Mokra and the Lokech know that a person is not interested when he's buying one field to have something that for all effects and purposes is like two and three fields, because the tircha involved in plowing such an area, in planting such an area, is much, much greater than the tircha involved in planting a single field. So if our Mishnah is talking about Nikoyim that are not Malayim Mayim, Maska for Ravina, Ravina asks the Rav Papa, how can you say that we're talking about Nikoyim that are Royal Izria, Vadumia Deslaim Katani? But wait a second, our Mishnah also gave two examples, protrusions above the ground that are rocks and cracks in the ground. Now you're telling me that when our Mishnah talks about cracks in the ground, it's talking about an area that can be planted? How does that equate with rocks? Rocks cannot be planted. So how can you can't plant on rocks? So how can you how can we say that our Mishnah is talking about cracks in the ground that you're able to plant in, if the Mishnah seemed to say that rocks and crevices in the ground are the same? So masloim delav bnei Zriya ninu, avaninami delav bnei Zriya ninu. Shouldn't it be that they're the same? That just like the rocks, by definition, you cannot plant on them. So the crevices in the ground, you also can't plant on them. And therefore, it's a kashan Rav Papa who said that our Mishnah is talking about nekayim that are roi lizriya. So answers the Gemara, ki katani dumi deslaim apachos mikan. No. When the Mishnah equated the crevices in the ground with the rocks, it's not talking about the nekayim that are 10 tefachim deep. It's talking about the nekayim that are less than 10 tefachim deep. So that's what we're saying, that even though they're not Roy Lizria, they're still Nimdadanima, that's still going to be measured together with the rest of the field. So the fact that Legabe Hegdish, the Gemara had made this equation and had proven that it must be that we're talking about Nekayim Malayim Mayim, from the fact that it was Nekayim Dumi Dislaim, and the Gemara didn't give this Dechia, that no, we're only talking about Nekayim that are less than 10 Tvachim, it's because the comparison between Slaim and Nekayim leads us to say that we're talking about Nekayim that are not Royal Lizria, but the din is going to be the same if they are Royal Lizria. I mean, mainly we say that the Diyuk Dumi Islam is only there because of the Sefer, the Rashbam says. So now, we had said, Pachs Mikan Nimdad Nima. So the Gemara explains that even though it says in the Mishnah that Nekayim that are less than 10 Tefachim are measured together with the field, there's still certain cases where they're not measured together with the field. Meaning if the area that includes that Nekayim is, let's say, more than Arba'as Kavin. So Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Trashim Sha'amru, the din that it says in the Mishnah that the slayim that are less than 10 tefachim are measured with the field, are considered part of the field. The Nekayim that are less than 10 tefachim are considered part of the field. That's only if the area of all of it together, of all of these Nekayim and slayim together, is only base Arba'as Kavin, is only the size of 4 Kavin. Because in such a size, you could say that, look, no field is going to be perfectly clean of any rocky area. No field is going to be perfectly clean of any cracks in the ground. So everyone knows when you're buying a field, you can have a little bit of that, but only a little bit of that, right? Up until 4 Kavin. Once it's a lot of that, then a person is not willing to accept that as part of his as what he's buying. So Rav Ukva gives a shear that even if all the trashim together is only 4 Kavin, sometimes it's still no good. You need it to be more spread out so that it's not considered like one large rocky area. Amra Vukva Barchama Vushamuvlain Bechameshus Kabin. Those 4 kav of slaim have to be spread out over a large area to the point where it's at least over an area of 5 kavin. Because if they're spread out in an area that's less than 5 kavin, then it's considered like one big rock, and that doesn't become batel to the field. Meaning, when we say that there's a certain amount of acceptable rocky area, it means spread throughout the field. If it's all concentrated in one part of the field, then that part of the field is not part of the field. Meaning, that's just rock that doesn't get counted with the field, even though it may not be so much, but if it's all concentrated in one area, that's excluded from the field. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Chiya Barabba says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. In order for that 4 kav of rock to be measured as part of the base core, there's another condition. V'ushamuvla'im beruba shel sada. That four kav of rock has to be spread out over the majority of the field, and only then will we say that that's acceptable. But if it's spread out over less than a majority of the field, meaning if all of the rocky parts that equal four kavin are all on the northern half of the field or all on the southern half of the field, we say that's just an unacceptable thing to have so much rock in one area. Unlike Rav Ukva, who said, "No, as long as the four kav are spread over five kav of land, not so much more," right? This Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's got to be spread out over the majority of the field. It's got to be spread out over at least 51% of the field. So, by Rabbi Chiya Barabba wasn't sure how to understand Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that you needed to be spread out over the majority of the field, which would be 16 sa'a, because a base kor is 30 sa'a. Right, so 16 sa'a. So if it's spread out evenly over, that 16 sa'a, each sa'a has a rova hakav. So that's how you got four kav spread out over 16 sa'a. Okay, I get that. That's considered properly spread out, and therefore that's an acceptable amount of rocky area in the field. But what if you have the following? Ruban bimiyuta umiyutan beruba. What if most of the rocky area, let's say 9 rive hakav of the 16 rive hakav, are not spread out over an area of 9 sa'a? They're spread out only over an area of that 16 sa'a, over an area of 7 of those 16 sa'a. Umiyutan, and then the rest of those 16 kav, meaning the 7 rive hakav, are spread out beruba over the majority of the 16 sa'a area, over 16 sa'a area, or let's say of the 16 sa'a, meaning over 9 sa'a of the 16 sa'a area. Meaning, let's say you take a little more than half of the field. The field is a base core is 30 sa'a. So we said that the 4 rive hakav have to be spread out over 51% of that, over 16 sa'a, let's say, it's a little more than 51%, but over 16 sa'a of area. So what if it is spread out over that 16 sa'a of area, but it's not evenly distributed within that 16 sa'a? There's higher concentration over some parts of that 16 sa'a of rock and lower concentration over other parts of that 16 sa'a. So mahu, what's the halacha there? So do we assume that since, the four kavan are spread out over the 16 sa'a, over rov of the sa'a, that's good enough? Or do we say, no, it needs to be evenly distributed over the 16 sa'a? So take, the Gemara is not sure what to do with that, so we're not sure. We're not sure if it has to be evenly distributed or not evenly distributed. Okay, so now the Gemara brings up a number of cases where there is some rocky area and it's less than the threshold, so it's the acceptable amount, but it's shaped in such a way that it makes the field very, very difficult to deal with, very difficult to plant and to plow. So does that ruin everything? Does that make it that it's not considered part of the field? So by Rabbi Yirmi asked the following. Kishir, let's say, or kasher, let's say it's shaped like a ring, meaning that's the top picture, right? It's a circle. Mahu, what's the din? Do we say that since it's spread out over the majority of the field, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or let's say over Chameshus Kavin, according to Rav Ukva, it is measured with the field? Or do we say that, no, it's so difficult. How are you going to plow every two steps? You're going to run into part of that circle of rocky land. It's going to be very, very difficult to plow in such an area, because normally when you plow, you go line by line. You go in a square, so there's no way to plow around when you have to plow a circular piece of land. It makes it impossible. And then the Gemara says, okay, kishura mahu. What if they're all straight? Do we not consider that to be part of the since each charisha you have to you do in a shesi veir, if you do in a crisscross, and over here since there's a direct line across the entire field, it blocks every single time. You got every pass through the field, it's blocked by rocky land. So that also is going to make it very, very difficult to plow. Or it's stadin mahu. What if it looks like an ox's horns? That's the second picture, right, in the Rashbam. It's stadin. That's the shape of the rocky land. Or derech akaloson mahu. That's the third picture. It's a zigzag of of rocky land. So what's the halacha there? Do we say, yeah, it's part of the field, you know, that's the luck of the draw. When you buy a field, it's going to have X amount in, of rocky area. Yeah, but I didn't expect it to be shaped like that, where it makes it impossible to plow. So what's the halacha? So take, the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. It's an ibaya. There's a huge machlokas rishonim, how we paskin on this teku. There are normally rules when it comes to teku, amotzi mechaver ala faraya perhaps, but the big machlokas rishonim over here in terms of how to paskin on this teku. Okay, so we had said that if the rocks are less than 10 tefachim high, then it's just part of the field. So the Gemara says there's a case where even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's not just part of the field. Tana, we learned in a braisa that even though we said that rocks that are less than 10 tefachim high are just considered to be part of the field, if it was right near the field, there was one rock that was just outside the field, afilu kolshu, even if the size of that rock is less than 10 tefachim, kolshu just means over here less than 10 tefachim, because for all intents and purposes, there's only one one measure, and that's 10 tefachim. More than 10 tefachim is considered significant, less is considered insignificant, so 9 tefachim is also a kolshu. It doesn't get measured as part of the base core, because when we said that a rocky area, when as long as it's not too high, is part of the base core, that means if it's middle of the field. But over here, it's outside of the field. It's on the very limits of the field, so that doesn't get measured. Not only that, if that rocky area was inside the field, but it wasn't in the middle, it was close to the border of the field, afilu kolshu, again, even if it's smaller, if it's lower than 10 tefachim, it does not get measured together with the rest of the field. Such a sela, such a rock, is not going to be considered batel to the rest of the field. So the Gemara says, okay, now what does this mean exactly? Bayi Rav Papa, mufsak ofer benatayim mahu. What if that sela is in the field, is not mamish right up on the border of the field? There's a little bit of ofer in between the border of the field and that rock. How little bit of afar? So the Rashbam writes less than 3 tefachim, like a very small amount of afar. There's a little bit of daylight in between that rock and the actual border of the field. Do we say that that's considered to be rock that's on the border and therefore does not get measured with the field? Or do we say, no, that's already be'emtza, that's already considered to be in the middle of the field, and therefore it does get measured together with the rest of the field because it is less than 10 tefachim high? Teku, the Gemara says, we don't have an answer to that shaila either. So he said, okay, I got another shaila for you. By Rav Ashi, if you want to suggest that if there's a hefsek afar, if there's a little bit of dirt between the rock and the border of the field, that is considered a hefsek, and therefore such a rock will be measured with the field. What if there wasn't a hefsek on the side of that rock between the border of the field and the rock, but it was afar milamata, there was afar under the rock up until the border, vitsun milamaila, and the sela was above that afar, or afar milamaila, there was afar on the surface of the karka, vitsun milamata, and it was just rocky area underneath it. Mahu, do we say that gets measured together with the base core, or do we assume that it's that counts as rock and it does not get measured with the base core? That's how the Rashbam understands the shaila, at least. So the suffix of Ravashi is like a hemshech of the suffix of Rav Papa, that if a sela is the ikar and it's not measured together with the karka, or is the afar the ikar? That's really the shaila, that when you have an area, a piece of land that's a combination of afar and sela, what do we look at it as? Do we look at it as afar, or do we look at it as sela? The other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah and Mukha Yosef, explained the suffix differently, that when the sela is the maila, we could be ochre the sela, and you'll uncover underneath that sela perfectly good afar. You'll uncover an area that you can actually plant on. So maybe that should be measured with the field, because you just got to do a little bit of work, and then you'll have that area to actually use. And when the sela is the mata, the suffix is, that since the plow is not able to go deep, it should not be measured with it. Or do we assume, well, there's afar there. So if there's afar, meaning on the surface, what you see is afar. If the afar is the maila, So you see offer there. So that's good enough. That for sure should count to the base score. Or do we say, no, try to plow that offer. And the second you stick the plow blade in, it's going to hit rock and it's going to break the plow blade. So then you're going to say, no, that doesn't count as offer. Those are the study of Safik according to other Rishonim, according to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Nimuka Yosef. The Ravid says that that the Safik is really about all rocks in the field that have offer in it, meaning this is not a continuation of the previous line, meaning that we were discussing when you have rock right up against the border, right near the border, so or just a little bit of offer between them. So now we're saying, oh, when it's right near the border and there's rock on top of offer or offer on top of rock. The Ravid says, no, this is not a continuation of that. This is any part of the field. If there's rock in the middle of the field, but there's offer on top of it or offer beneath it, the Gemara is asking the Shaila. Okay, so Teku, either way, whatever the Shaila is left as a Teku. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. A guy sells a particular field to his friend. They come to measure the field, and it turns out to be a little bit larger, a little bit smaller than the agreed upon size of the field. So, base kor afar ani mochalach. He says, I'm selling you a base kor, again, 30 sa'ah of afar, and mida bechevel. And the way we're going to verify the size of it is we're going to measure it using a measuring rope, which is how they used to measure things. They would take a rope of a known size, and they would stretch it out, and that's how they would measure it. So, it's going to be very miduyak. It's going to be exactly a base kor. So piches kol shehu yinaka. If it turns out to be a little less than a base kor, then the mocher has to deduct from the price of the field for the lokech, because the lokech would agree to a price to get a base kor. This is not a base kor. And if hoser kol shehu yachzir, and if it's a little bit larger than a base kor, then the lokech gives back the extra that he got from the mocher. Why don't we say it's batal amekach? After all, we said that by a taus. Since it's a mekach talus, it's chozer a mekach, even bepachos from 1/6, meaning the dinim of ona'a don't apply when it's a davar shemida, davar shemishkal, davar sheminyan. That if it's something that's clearly measurable, any if you're off even any little bit, it's going to be a bitul mekach. So why don't we assume bitul mekach over here? Why is it that we just make an adjustment to make it fair as opposed to being mevatel al mekach? So the Rashbam says two possible explanations. Number one, he says, maybe that's only a din by karka, by metaltalin, not a din by karka, because the Rabbana knew that a person wants to be kona karka, even if it's not exactly the measurement that it was supposed to be. That when you're buying real estate, you're still interested. When people are so interested in real estate, people don't want bitul mekach of real estate too quickly. Real estate is very valuable. By metaltalin, if it's not exactly what I wanted, and we said it's going to be this amount, and it's not that amount, then we're interested in a bitul mekach. The second possibility is, if the mocher were to say that he's selling a base kor based on the measurement, it's ki'ilu the mocher said. I'm sorry, it's ki'ilu that the mocher said to him that he's selling him a base kor based on midas hachevel, based on the measurement, v'im yachzir Yosef lo v'im Yosef yachzir, meaning that you have to assume that was the understanding over here, that I'm selling you this price for this amount of land, and therefore, if it turns out to be not exactly that amount of land, so we'll adjust the price accordingly. That you have to assume that was the deal going in. Otherwise, it should have been a bitul mekach. So okay. So the first halacha of the Mishnah is: I tell you, I'm selling you a base kor mida bechevel, and I say it's going to be measured precisely, and then it turns out to be imprecise. It turns out to be a little less or a little more, so we adjust the price. V'imamar, if the mocher said to the kona, Hein chaser, hein yaser, that I'm going to sell you a base kor offer, give or take, well, you know, a little more, a little less, then afilu pichas rova, then even if the mocher gives him a field that's a rova less than a base kor, it's a rova akav l'sa'a for each sa'a, meaning he gives him a rova akav from each sa'a of the base kor less than a base kor, oh hosir rova l'sa'a, or he gives him an extra rova for each sa'a, then the halach is higio, the lokeach keeps the karka as it is, whether the lokeach comes out on top, or whether the lokeach loses from this, because we assume that up until that amount of a rova for each sa'a, a person is willing to be mochel in either direction. But whether the mocher or the kona, either one is going to be willing to be mochel. But yosir mikan, but if it's off by more than that, it's more than a rova for each sa'a, yasa cheshbon. Then the lokeach has to do a cheshbon that whatever was added on to the base score, even the revayim that were added for each sa'a, you make a cheshbon and you pay the mocher for that extra. Meaning this is one of the cases we had earlier, that you don't just make a cheshbon to bring it back to the margin of error, you make the cheshbon all the way, right? Meaning you go back to the exact base score, you don't just get it back to within the margin of error. Ma'u machzer lo, what does lokech give back what does he give to the mocher? Ma'os. Lokech gives the mocher the value of the karka that the mocher had given him that was extra, instead of returning the karka itself. Vim ratza, but if the mocher dafka wants the machzer lo karka, dafka wants his karka back, so then you give him back the karka. So once they agree that each base score, and he's makabel more than that he has to return him karka, lama amru machzer lo ma'os, if the mocher could insist on getting the karka back, why did we say that you give him back money, the value of the karka? Liapos kocha shel mocher. That should tell me that the mocher has the upper hand over here. He gets to choose what he wants. That if he wants the karka itself, he gets the karka itself, but if it's such a small piece of land that it's not worth for him to get the extra karka itself, so he could ask for the money back instead. So if he added to the field of base tisha kabin, a size of base tisha kabin, which is itself, meaning if I told you I'm going to sell you a base core, and I gave you a base core plus 9 kavin, so a significant amount of land that on its own would be chashuv, ubegina, and if it was in a gina, base chatzi kav, a chatzi kav is big enough for a gina to be substantial. Ukadiva Rabbi Akiva, and according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that when it comes to shutfin, dividing an area, he also had to define what's considered a reasonable size. So he said base rova. He said that when it comes to a base rova, that a base rova is a reasonable size, that a person can deal with that on its own as an independent field, as an independent garden. So machzul as a karka. Then you only give back the karka. The mocher can't demand the kesef back. Meaning if I gave you so much extra that it's its own substantial field, then the lokeach has the right to say, you know what, I'll give you back the extra, and that's its own field, and you'll have to deal with it. But you don't only, again, go back to within the margin of error, you give back everything, you give back all of the extra that you actually received. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick over the Bailu, 2 lines from the end of the page, on Kuf Gimel and the Beis. Everyone have a great day, an easy fast, Gemar Chassim Tov. Thank you.